Hi, I'm Chase Bunker, but you're not here for me. You're here for my guest. He is a former teacher turned comedian. He's also one of the members of the comedic group Bored Teachers and the host of the podcast Crying in My Car, a podcast for teachers. You can see them at the Florida Theater on January 16th. Tickets on sale now. He is Devin Siebold. Devin, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me. Great intro. Appreciate it.
No problem. Glad we're able
Pretty solid. As a former teacher, you did your homework. I give you an A+.
Thank you. I'm glad so far that I passed in this interview. However, we still got a few minutes, so I'm sure that grade will fall very quickly. Now, for the uninitiated, what is Bored Teachers?
Oh, man. It's a whole host of things. It started off down in the Treasure Coast. A guy and his wife put together a Facebook page for teachers to kind of go laugh and get a little bit of stress out at the end of the day. And I started about 10 years ago creating videos in my classroom of crazy things going on, things basically my way of letting my own stress out. And then they asked me to create some stuff for them, so I did. And since then, it's grown to several of us creating content for them and basically trying to just give teachers an outlet, a way to laugh, a way to let off the stress. And it went from Facebook to in person. And now we sell out shows across the country, across the world, actually. Just got back from Canada and Australia. So
it's
huge. It's growing even more by the day. Teachers need laughter. And there's a lot, you know, going on in the world. And we give them that space to kind of come together and laugh together.
Yeah, teachers definitely do need a lot of laughter. Both my parents are teachers, so they definitely need that. And wine. I feel like a lot of teachers, when it comes to the teaching position, it naturally, like a borderline wine addiction comes with the profession.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's funny because we'll do shows and they'll have bars at these shows and they go, okay, we got a bunch of specialty drinks. We got this, we got that. And I go, how's your wine? Because that's going to be your number one seller. It's going to be a lot of wine glasses in the crowd. And sure enough, they always are like, man, we went through, you know, 37 bottles. And I'm like, yep, that's it. That's us.
I worked on a back to school special. And one of the things I wanted to do, and they wouldn't let me, is I wanted to also look up wine prices just for teachers, because Winn-Dixie was having some really good wine deals. Like, oh yeah, by the way, teachers, you can get a nice Merlot for $10 over at Winn-Dixie. And they're like, why don't you stick with school supplies?
You know, I think that wine companies would do really well if they just put like a free stapler in the box or something, you know, just a little incentive for the teachers to get, you know, just a little buy one, get one. That'd be real nice, you know.
Take care of your school supplies. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
One of the things I respect about teachers, and as I said, both my parents are teachers, and I didn't get this thing. They have it. They have the patience of a saint. I did not get this because it would just be so difficult for me to like, not tell a child that they're just stupid. It's like it would be like, how do you not grasp this?
You know, it's as a teacher, it's one of those things that you just really have to be so empathetic, so patient. And I think people know when they start teaching right away if they got it or they don't. And it's not a do I know the material? It's not a am I good at classroom management? It's a am I gonna survive? Am I able to not pull my hair out at the end of the day? And can I get through this with you know, compassion? Because these kids need compassion and they need the empathy and they need the love. And man, sometimes there are those kids that it is very, very difficult. They throw up the, you know, the borders, the walls, and you try to break through to them, and you just find yourself beat down at the end of the day. But you know, those good teachers get up and keep going at it till they have that breakthrough, and that's why we need them.
Speaking of good teachers, I've found that with a lot of teaching friends and just the teachers that I know, there's always that one teacher that inspires them to essentially become a teacher. Is there a teacher in your life or in your childhood that inspired you to become a teacher?
Oh, yeah. Mr. Murphy, Melbourne, West Shore Junior Senior High School. He was amazing. And when I went to college, they I switched degrees just because I kept thinking, man, you know, I really enjoyed Mr. Murphy. I wish I had a teacher like him. And I was like, you know what? I could be the teacher like him. And I became a teacher because of him. It came full circle. He was retiring last year, and I was the keynote speaker at the Florida History Convention for Teachers, where he was attending it. So he got to see me go on stage and present and thank him for inspiring me and getting me to that position to where I was suddenly, you know, somebody noteworthy and teaching other teachers. You know, it was amazing. Yeah, he's a great guy.
What was the moment in your life that made you go, oh, I think I have a career in comedy?
Oh, it was a student, believe it or not. I actually used to sometimes... We would have like these moments where we would do like lockdown drills and things like that. And we'd put all the kids into one room and they'd go insane. If we put, 120 kids in one room, we'd combine three or four classes. And I got up and was like, hey guys, I got some funny stories for you. And I was telling them funny things that happened to me when I was in college. And they'd all laugh. And then we'd have to do it, you know, two or three times a year. And they'd be like, stories, stories. And one time I had a guy, Alan Lewis, who's a great guy. And he, you know, was one of my seniors I was teaching. And he goes, you know, you should really try stand-up comedy. Your timing's really good. And I was like, oh, yeah, I hadn't thought about that. And within a year, I'd signed up for a stand-up comedy class. And I started writing more. And I was winning competitions left and right. And I won the Boston World Series of Comedy. I won the iHeart Comedian of the Year. It took off. So thanks, Alan. Appreciate it, man.
Were you scared to finally quit teaching and just go full-time comedy?
Yeah, I was terrified of that. Not just for the money, but also because when you quit teaching, you know, you let your certification expire, and I enjoyed it. I really like, and I know that's crazy, but I taught for 13 years in Title I schools. There's a lot of schools I taught at that, you know, teachers, you couldn't, you know, pay them enough to even teach there, but I enjoyed it. I really connected well with the kids. I loved the material. I had a passion for it. And so it was more of a, can I go back to it eventually if I really want to, you know, and make sure that I wasn't completely locked out of the system? You know, do I have to do more certification, more stuff? You know, do I have an avenue back? And comedy has taken off to where I don't have to worry about that, luckily, but I do still miss it. So then I started talking in schools, and now I'm kind of teaching other teachers, and it fulfills that purpose as well. So I enjoy both. Yeah.
What is something parents don't realize that teachers have to go through?
I think generally it's just the overcrowding. Teachers think, or parents think, that teachers, you know, have their just time, endless time to work one-on-one with their kid, and they know every single thing that's going on with their child, and they know every way in which to help them. And it's gotten so overcrowded in these classrooms that it's just not possible to get the level of instruction that parents deserve, you know, and that teachers want to give. It's the system is kind of pushing back against both of us, but it's not us versus each other. It's us versus the system that we're all kind of a part of. And I wish teachers and parents kind of more understood that. Sometimes parents think it's teachers and teachers think it's parents, but there's a lot working against us when you have classrooms full of 37 children and, you know, curriculum that's defined by outside, you know, for-profit agencies that are just trying to sell you something, not necessarily with something, you know, with the kid in mind. So, I just think that if parents and teachers understood that a little bit more, then maybe we could get together and make change, you know?
Right. I know that parents like to give teachers gifts like during the holiday season. What was the weirdest gift you ever received from a parent?
Oh, so, but the weirdest gift I ever received from a parent, and I still to this day, it baffles me, is I worked a second job at Longhorn Steakhouse. Longhorn Steakhouse is where I worked. And I waited on a parent and their kid, and I was like, hey, oh, good to see you. And, you know, they knew I worked there and everything. And then Christmas comes, they got me a gift card to Longhorn Steakhouse. And I'm like, I work there. I get the food for free. But, you know, it was It was one of those where I had to re-gift it for sure, but it was like, come on, you saw me there. I waited on you, you know?
You
but
know what
whatever.
I like doing? Going back to work on my day off.
Oh yeah, ideally. So yeah, couldn't believe that, but that was an unusual one for sure.
Is there a teaching story that you wish you could like say or talk about during your set, but you just can't?
Oh, I mean, yeah, there's things that go on, you know, and I don't particularly have it that much, but there's some teacher comedians that I'll say, not on our tour, but there's teacher comedians that I've seen out there that do some of these jokes and they post them online. And I'm like, come on. I'm like, if that's a real story, the kids could possibly see this, you know, the parents could possibly see this. And it kind of makes you look bad. There's a lot of teachers that want to be comedians, and I think that's great. We have a lot of great stories, but not every story needs to be something that you throw online and hope it goes viral because you are embarrassing the kid or the parent or the, you know, the school that you were at, you know? So you kind of toe the line with that stuff and go, all right, would I deliver this joke in front of the kid that it's about or in front of the parent that I'm talking about? And if the answer is no, then, you know, don't do it. Yeah. That's my philosophy, but you know, other people think differently.
Was there any fears of parents possibly seeing you do comedy when you first started?
Yeah. So actually when comics first start, we're typically a lot more blue, like a lot more mm-hmm. vulgar because you just can't, it takes a while to find your voice. So you kind of lean a crutch on curse words and you go, I'll just cuss it up, you know, and see how it goes. And I did one set where somebody came up to me after the show and she goes, hey, you teach my kid. And I felt my heart start to palpitate. I was sweating. I was like, you got to be kidding me. And they were joking. They were like, no, I'm just kidding with you. And I was like, oh, man. And at that point, I was like, you know what? I should probably clean it up a little bit. You know, I had my principal sit in the front row one time, and I had to change every joke I normally do that night. I'm up there digging out knock-knock jokes off Amazon, you know, because I got nothing in front of my principal. I was like, dude, if I tell you the stuff that I'm going to tell you, I'd get fired. I'd just go ahead and quit right now. So, yeah.
You're so right about starting off blue. I remember I did my first set at the Metro and it was incredibly vulgar. And my parents, I was still like living with my parents. I was like 18 and they saw that and they got wind of it. And they just said, yeah, you can't do stand-up comedy right now. So I had to hide stand-up comedy from them. Normally you hide drugs from your parents. I had to hide stand-up for a while.
Right. Your dad's coming in your room. Where's the jokes? Where's the notebooks? You know, he's just throwing the drugs to the side. No, mm-hmm. Oh, I'm looking for the punchline.
They find is like, what's this? What's like, and you see like a bag and it's just like a marbled composite book just filled with like jokes and possible punchlines.
Right.
Yeah. Who's the bad influence? You can see Bored Teachers at the Florida Theater on January 16th. Tickets on sale now. Devin, before we go, I want to ask you the same 10 questions I like to ask all my guests here, inspired by the late, great James Lipton. Are you ready?
Sure.
All right. What's the most played song on your playlist?
Probably, Do You Know What I Mean by Liam Gallagher. I like Liam Gallagher.
Guilty Pleasure Band.
I would say Pantera.
I've never heard Pantera as the guilty pleasure band. Usually it's like something more poppy like ABBA or Olivia Rodrigo, but not like, you know, Pantera.
What's funny is it is a guilty pleasure when you're a teacher. The kids don't expect you to be listening to a vulgar display of power, you know, So, yeah, it's kind of the opposite. We're expected to listen to the pop, so it goes the other way.
That's so true, actually. I never even considered that. That's so good. Favorite song to belt it out to, no matter how good or how bad you sound?
Probably anything Journey. I mean, it's just Journey mm-hmm. for sure.
If you could eat one meal for a week, what is it?
Crab legs, for sure.
Drink of choice?
Alcoholic or non-alcoholic?
It could be either.
probably alcoholic, old-fashioned, non-alcoholic, probably, I don't know. I just, liquid death, the lime ones. Those are delicious.
Nice. Favorite superhero?
Off the top of my head, I say Hulk. I like Hulk.
To help settle a bet, do you think the 80s video game character Mega Man is a superhero?
Yeah, absolutely.
My man, there you go. Favorite internet video?
The oldest one, the first one that I ever saw online, the look at my horse. My horse is amazing.
Oh,
that is
such a great reference. Oh my, I was just thinking about that the other day too. I'm like, they don't make it like that anymore.
No, if they don't, it can just put on repeat all day long. Yep.
I didn't realize that that's actually a full song, and like, there's apparently more after the quote, like loop on the video. And I'm just like, oh, it just blew my mind that there's actually more to this.
Oh, I didn't know. I got to go look at, got to go find it. Yeah.
What are you watching right now on your streaming platforms?
Streaming platforms. Right now, I think, Are You Afraid of the Dark? It's the Halloween area. Yeah, I like Are You Afraid of the Dark for sure. So I've just been watching old episodes of that from when I was a kid.
Do those still hold up?
Yeah, they do, for sure. Especially when you got kids and you get to see them watch it now. And it's, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Because I watched like an old episode of like the first season of Power Rangers. I'm like, oh, this aged poorly.
Yeah, it does. There's some that don't hold up, but those do. I don't know. It's something about them.
And finally, Devin Siebold, give me your spiciest hot take. It could be about anything in life.
Spiciest hot take. Anything in life. Oh, my gosh. I will say this. I don't think, and this is debatable, a lot of people will get mad at me on this, but I think under 17 should not be allowed to have social media. I just think it doesn't. It doesn't lend itself well to growing minds. And anybody under 17 will probably fight me over that, but I just think social media is terrible. And it's weird because I make a living on it. That's the wild part. Don't be on social media, but if you are, share my stuff.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. Like, I think 100% just because, like, I don't know how many countless stories I've heard about, like, just cyberbullying on social media from high schoolers and all that, like, it's nuts, and I agree with you 100%. That's a great take. You can see him at the Florida Theater on January 16th. Tickets on sale now. Crying in My Car, a podcast for teachers. Find that wherever you get your podcasts. Devin Siebold, thanks a lot for coming on.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.